All right, you've got your white sheet, Genesis 27. We're going to finish that up. And the very first part of 28, we didn't get to, but that also goes with this particular story. Rather than start at the beginning, which has Isaac with his old eyes and Esau being told to go hunt some game and bring him some tasty food, Rebecca overhears and sends Jacob in dressed up as Esau in order to get the blessing. Jacob has to lie and say he's Esau, as well as he used the Lord's name to swear that he is who he is. Until finally, Jacob is convinced that he's going to bless him. And if you get to verse 27, page 2, verse 27 is where we're going to start. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him, and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, "Bless me, me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master and all his brethren. I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck." Skip over the readings from Hebrews 11, go to the back page, and we continue, chapter 27, verse 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and killed Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. Also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. This is God's word.
He's already done.
All right, back at 27. About verse 37 comes. 27 rather. Isaac, dressed in Esau's clothing, comes, and we have this particular blessing which Jacob gives, thinks he's giving it to Esau, and he gives it to Isaac. We haven't yet, and I said we would come back to this, take a look at this particular blessing that is given to him. And even as we were trying to untangle the mess of things, you know, Jacob has gotten Esau's birthright many years earlier. Now he has stolen his blessing. We're wondering what Isaac is doing when he gives this blessing. Is he willing and knowingly subverting what was the prophecy about the younger serving the older, or is it a material blessing, or is it this blessing of Abraham? Is it a spiritual blessing? What's going on? Rebekah, I think someone had said, well, it sure sounds like she's trying to do the promise, but that may not have been the best way to do it, by deception and what has happened. When we get to the end, we see that everyone suffers for what is their part in doing wrong. And yet, God's will is done concerning Jacob, who actually gets the blessing. But let's take a look kind of compare some of these and see what we have. With 27 through 29, we have the words that are spoken to, not Esau, but to Isaac, thinks it's going to be to Esau. Let me go to a page that I've prepared for you. We have had already in this yellow sheet, that which is has Genesis 12 at the top and goes all the way down through. And so we see the blessing that is going to come to them. With that, this is that yellow sheet. We saw that with the very beginning, I divided it up. You can divide it up in a couple of different ways, but I divided it up into kind of four things. One, there is the promise of making him a great nation, that is, a numerous people. Later we have sand, the stars, things of that sort. And with that, although it doesn't happen exactly, in 2 to 3, when we get already to verse 7, it adds in the promise of the land. So numerous people in the land. I could have made them separate. We'll put them together. There is a blessing that is going to come to Abraham himself. And so God is going to provide for him, as well as the honor of his name. Those I can put together as well. Then there is this blessing that is going to come to many others. He becomes the possessor and he dispenses it out, or you might say he is the source and then is the mediator. It's usually described in terms of those who bless, I will bless those who bless you, whoever curses you, I will curse. And then maybe even more explicit is, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. So the blessing that comes to others. He is blessed, of course, but then through him others get it. So that's kind of the blessing of Abraham, and we kind of saw that as it goes through. Most of the time those items are included in it. So Genesis 12, you have that mentioned. In Genesis 27, this blessing, which was intended for Esau, turns out to be given to Jacob. Therefore, God give you up the dew of heaven, up the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. This is a description of material blessings where there is water and dew. You've got the grain, you've got wine, rejoicing, lots of stuff. Two, let the people serve you and nations bow down to you. We've got nations, we got people. It's not so much saying Jacob is having, but the world, others will have honor given to him. Maybe that honor thing that we saw. In the next one we have, be master over your brethren, let your mother's sons bow down to you. This definitely is one that speaks, maybe not of the Abraham blessing, but it does go back to that prophecy. And again, the prophecy, there's two nations, two people that are going to come out and be separate, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So the older, stronger is going to serve the younger. Here we have this one over the other. Obviously, it's not mentioned in those terms, but it's definitely going to be that. And finally, we have the cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. When we take a look at the blessing of Abraham, making him into a great nation, it's not really mentioned in that blessing. The giving of land, not really mentioned. Is there going to be blessings given to Isaac? Yeah, does mention that. In fact, the honor that comes from all the nations, that doesn't. So we have these things mentioned. We have this, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, which fits under here in a maybe a little bit vague way. It doesn't talk explicitly about the blessing that Isaac would be to others, which is kind of a pretty key point of the Abraham blessing. So when I look at this, we saw from last time, what were some of the things that we saw that let us know that Isaac is not doing the way he's supposed to? All right, here's what happens. First, instead of Isaac saying, "I'm getting ready to die," he says, "Yeah, I don't really know when I'm going to die." It's going to be 43 years later. So he's kind of doing this not at the right time. Two, instead of inviting all the sons and everybody together and making this a public event, Esau, you go do this, you come in, we'll take care of this privately, we'll check this out. Obviously intending to cut Jacob out of this particular blessing. When he gives this to him, is he intending to give the blessing of Abraham to Esau?
So we saw, right?
Kind of. You think so? Maybe it doesn't. You know, or maybe he does, and thankfully he doesn't quite give the words. But I don't know. What I do find is this, and we've kind of already gone through. Jacob leaves. Esau comes in. He is really upset because he finds out the blessing has been given to someone else, and he wants to have his own blessing. He's taken away everything from me. He said, "Give me a blessing." So, what does Esau get? Well, if Jacob gets the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven, we find that in this one it shall be away from the fatness, away from the dew. So you get this, you're going to be away from it. We find something else. The sword, by the sword you shall live. He's going to have a life in which he has to maintain his kingdom by means of the sword. He's going to serve, you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. So you shall serve your brother until there come a point where it will be thrown off. We see with this words which were given to Esau that he wants Esau wants Jacob to change his blessing, and he says, "No, it's going to be the way it was." I see this as a realization of Jacob. No, I keep getting the wrong name this morning. Of Isaac, that he realizes what he has done, and as it has come forward, he goes, "Nope, I am not going, you know." Maybe in the heat of the moment, maybe in my planning, maybe in my wanting some food and doing this, I was going to mess things up. Now I realize what I have done, and he says it's going to last. And he gives him the opposite, and he tells him just exactly according to the prophecy, you're going to serve your brother.
You look at what he's telling him, it's almost a curse.
Yes,
because it is. You know, where you're going to live, it's going to be dry, and things are going to be tough. You're going to have to fight to keep what you have. That's not much of happy words. The thing is the reverence given the word. Okay, he's made the word this blessing. So when he says a blessing, this isn't just like, oh yeah, I could just give more words out. I mean, it means something.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I wondered if it's really a blessing in disguise. I don't know. What happened to did Esau come back to the church?
We do have, as it deals with Esau himself, he lives in the area of Edom. There it is, dry and desolate, except for on some of the mountains where you do have just a bit. So he is away from it. We find, I don't know about Esau himself, but I will say concerning his descendants who then live there, are always in fighting against the nation of Jacob, the Israelites, until finally they do throw that off from them. We will find that Esau himself finally has that done. So, this is probably the light at the end of the tunnel, but it's give me a blessing. So the blessing is you're going to not get all the good stuff that your brother has. I agree, it's almost a curse, but that's all he has. Mary?
I'm confused. Maybe it's because who's speaking to whom here. The one blessing... the blessing that Isaac gives to Jacob when he thinks he's Esau, and then... Esau asking for a blessing from his father. It sounds to me like it's largely the same.
There was that, and I mentioned last time that where this one says, of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth, you're going to get all this stuff. I don't like the New King James translation of this one down here.
I'm going by the, whatever this is.
That is the New King James.
Okay, because it sounds like he's saying...
If you take a look at the NIV, they do a better job of translating the Hebrew preposition, which is away from, not of as in it, but away from the fatness. So one is the opposite of the other. You can't see it.
It looks like the same words here.
Yeah.
That's why I'm
confused. It looks like the exact same words. I agree.
Thank you.
It just doesn't fit in the context to say, yeah, you're going to get that too. Tony?
Esau's blessing sounds just like what God said was going to happen to the sin. You know, you're going to toil in the dirt. And when in history... didn't God's people have to defend themselves with the sword? I mean, granted, it sounds bad, but it sounds like you're in for a life of this sinful earth. Not that it's, quote, a curse.
There is, because of the world we live in, which is the sinful world, I mean, there is always going to be the... consequences that we have to deal with. This in particular, though, is going to speak about them being more of a militant kind of people rather than the other. That all being said, though, I will get to Esau. It does appear similar to Ishmael that Esau comes back to the faith. But before we can get that, that lets us know, what about, let me finish. So Esau asks for a blessing. This is the best that he can get. We're going to go on, but I want to jump ahead. When Isaac sends Jacob off to go get a wife, because Esau is going to kill him and this kind of thing, Isaac speaks a blessing again, and that is on page 4 of your sheet, or it is what I put Jacob number 2, in which it says, may God Almighty bless you, make you fruitful, and multiply you, that you may be assembly of peoples, give you the blessing of Abraham, to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Now, compare that blessing with here. Does Isaac intend to give him the Abrahamic blessing of Genesis 12?
This is the same one here.
I mean, absolutely. Now, before it's all kind of muddled, but when we get to this one, he specifically says, I want you to know, you are getting it. You've got it. In fact, we've got the number of people being done. We've got a reference to the land. We've got the blessing. some of the other things that was mentioned before about being a blessing to others, bless you and curse you, it does not mention. But this is definitely intended. So by the time, I think already with his reference to Esau, Isaac understands what's going on. And when he sends Jacob away, he knows that Jacob has gotten it, and Esau has not. And it has followed what was the prophecy of Genesis 25. And so he gets that. That's what we see, that it finally happens. Genesis, go to that back page. What about Esau? Esau, a while back, I don't care anything about the birthright, whatever, you can have it, just give me some food. When it comes to the blessing, he wants the stuff. We said, well, what's Esau like at this point? At this point, you see that though he sold the birthright, he thinks he's still going to get the blessing. When he doesn't get the blessing, he gets very mad. Well, that doesn't say so much. But, you know, has he changed but before we get to this account? Mary?
He had already taken two wives that his parents didn't approve of. So it's not like he was trying to please them for the inheritance.
Exactly. And when we get to the beginning of this, we find that what is his response?
He took another one.
He has now gone to hatred, and he's plotting murder. Is he repentant for his despising the birthright, as we saw in Hebrews, where at the top of page 4, you know, we need to pursue peace and holiness. So don't be like Esau, who sold his birthright. And you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, and he did, he was rejected, and he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So though he's angry and with tears and whatever, Hebrews lets us know that Esau at this point is not repentant, and we see it with his hatred and with his seeking to murder his brother. So at this point, nothing has changed with Esau.
With his desire to have the blessing, after all, I don't think it says it, but it seems like it's just the material blessing part that he really wants. I just want the goods. I want the good land and good stuff. He's not really looking for the promise of the Savior or anything like
right.
that. That's not his concern right now.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what we see. It says, Esau said in his heart, the days for mourning for my father are at hand. Well, his father said, I don't know when I'm going to die, and he figures, okay, Dad's going to die soon. As soon as Dad dies, then I'm going to kill my brother Jacob. Why is he waiting?
He knows it's wrong. I'm not going to do it while Dad's alive.
All right, he knows it's wrong.
He wants to look good in his dad's eyes.
For some reason, that is important to him. His mom, not so much. But his dad, he doesn't want it.
That's why he marries his cousin. Please,
it's why, so he doesn't, so he's trying to look good in Isaac's eyes, and he's going to wait, and once Isaac is gone, now Isaac cares a lot about Esau. In fact, he wanted to give him, whether the whole blessing of Abraham or whatever it was, but I mean, he was going to give him the stuff. And so he knows that his dad. So it was a mutual thing, at least at that point. However, verse 42, it would seem that Esau, this is not just a thought that came up in his mind. this is something, whether he told his two wives or he's now got more, he's got, you know, what he's bragged about, you know, your father gave away your blessing. You're the firstborn, but he gave it to Jacob. Jacob stole it away. Are you going to just stand for that? Oh, no. I will kill him as soon as dad dies. And so he brags about his evil plan, so much so that it was told to Rebekah. Everybody knew. Does Isaac know? I don't know. I suspect he doesn't. So Rebekah calls her younger son Jacob and says to him, "Surely your brother Esau comes to himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice." Have we heard this before? This is her maternal kind of fourth commandment. Listen to me, and boy, she had a bad plan last time. I'm a little bit concerned with her next plan, but it ends up being a good plan. "Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away and he forgets what you have done to him. I will send and bring you from there." So she says, "I got a plan. We're going to send you away. And it'll only be a couple days. A few days. And when he's not so mad, I'll call for you and you can come back." That's the plan. "Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" Both? Who are we talking about? There must be two people. What's she concerned about?
Well, if Esau kills him, then Esau will probably have to flee or do something. But she's going to lose all
food. This sounds like another Bible account. Same thing as Cain and Abel. Right, so Cain killed Abel and Cain gets excommunicated. She says, if this actually happens, I'll lose you and I'll lose Esau. What about, you know, no. Let's do something, and the best thing is for you to go away. This is the plan. And so, she tells Jacob, this is what we're going to do. When I get to verse 46... now Rebekah talks to Isaac. Note, it's not the same word.
She doesn't tell him what's going on.
Up here, it's all because of the brother. Down here, it's, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. It's a daughter-in-law problem. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like those who are the daughters of Laban, what good will my life be to me? What's she doing with Isaac?
She's not telling him the truth.
Why not? Again, he may not know this. There is a mutual respect with Esau and Isaac, and
nobody wants to come and tell the patriarch about his favorite son and what...
No. And she was part of the deception also. Originally.
Is what?
Yeah. She was part of that deception. You know, she's probably not wanting to cross him again.
Anyway, I'm not saying that he didn't know completely. He maybe did. And I'm not saying that she didn't ever tell him any, you know, or he didn't figure it out or whatever. But the point being is that she portrays it in a different light. And Isaac does exactly what she said. Well, she didn't actually tell him what to do. She just kind of hinted that this would be a good thing. Isaac called Jacob, blessed him. Here's the blessing. Charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." So these Hittite wives, the daughters of Heth, are from Canaan. He is supposed to rise and go to Paddan Aram.
Oops, I don't have my...
Paddan Aram. They're living down here. He is supposed to go to Haran, to Paddan Aram, up here, in order to go to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, take yourself a wife there from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And then we have the Abrahamic blessing. I was going to redraw this, but my new limitation is not going to let me do. So you have to bear with me. Here's what we have. Terah has two wives. With the one he has Sarah. With the other he has Abraham. That's why he can say it was his sister, though not directly. It's from a different wife. Abraham and Sarah are married. Abraham with Hagar has Ishmael. Abraham with Sarah has Isaac. And then Rebekah and Isaac have Esau and Jacob. You can see with my God a line, here's the line of the promise. We'll be getting back to that again. Rebekah says, Jacob, you need to go back. With these, we have Nahor and Haran. Haran has Lot. That line, we don't know anything more after Lot's thing. Nothing more is heard about this. Nahor and Milcah have Bethuel, and that is where Rebekah is a child of. And so he says, I want you to go back, and I want you to go to Laban. Again, I was going to redo this, but one of my has here, this blue sheet, includes not only is Rebekah, but there ought to be Laban here, which is her brother. And Laban, I want you to marry one of his daughters, is the plan. Go to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. Take yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban. Isaac is now doing as Abraham did for him, sending someone back there in order to get a wife and not from the Canaanites. There's lots of questions or concerns. Jacob is 77 when Abraham did this. Isaac was 40. You might remember back when Esau married two wives, he was 40. We're glad he's finally doing what needs to happen, but it's because of Esau's plan to kill and after the fact. And anyway, he's got the blessing, so he's the one. And so he is sent away in order to get this. He went away. You know, the other thing is, the pool of possible wives. It's one thing to say go back to Paddan Aram and find a wife, but you're going to have to marry one of his daughters.
Go pick a first cousin.
I don't. Maybe there are a couple more. We know there's only two. That's the best you got. Yeah, you got a first cousin. The best you got is, yeah, you better pick one of these two.
Yeah, it seems weird to us, but until a few generations ago, that was the norm.
That was norm.
Right. And he was 84.
By the time it happens, he is 84, because he served 7 years, and we'll get to that at another point. The last part, Esau. Guys, we need to wrap up Esau and kind of take a look. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob right here, sent him away, said to get a wife, gave him a charge, don't take a wife from the daughters of the Canaan. Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and go to Paddan Aram. Okay, it's kind of a summary. The scriptures sometimes repeat those kind of things, but it lets you know as it repeats the thing that this must be a reason or fits into Esau's thinking in the whole matter. And Esau also saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So is Esau a little slow on this matter?
Yeah.
I mean, do you kind of go, huh? You mean my two Hittite wives, you know, after 37 years, I finally go, really, you didn't like them?
Right.
Not that it matters that much, but he's not the brightest crayon in the box.
Ari's rebellious.
So, last thing, he goes to Ishmael, and he gets another wife. And that seems to be so, kind of, this is the therefore, which makes me go, is this a good thing he does or a bad thing? And if this caused him to do this, then maybe that can help us out in this matter. All right, we got a couple of hands. What, Brian?
He clearly didn't care what his father and mother thought before that, so I'm like, yeah, I kind of think it's a good thing. I mean, he's at least saying, okay, I displeased them, maybe why all this has come down on me like this, and I'll try to do the right thing going forward.
Is that the right thing, though, marrying Ishmael's daughter?
Well, yeah, so then is it?
This kind of has the two wrongs don't make a right, but maybe three does. Like.
All right, so I'm going to tell you, here's the way I read this until I studied for this class. Prior to this, I thought Esau saw that all this stuff made his dad, and he's still thinking mad because of all this, so he sticks him in the eye with another Canaanite wife. That's the way I read it. And I thought, oh yeah, Esau just kind of goes, yeah, well, if that's the way you're going to be, fine, I'll get a third one. And that's kind of what I saw. But Ishmael, the land of Canaan is over here. When Ishmael is sent away, he comes down here to the land of, does it say, in this one it doesn't, in the other one it does, I think it goes on to let us know that the land of Shur and down here, it's actually in a different area. And it is not a daughter of Canaan, like Brian said. In fact, if we're talking about Ishmaelites, then you would say Hittites or Philistines or whatever. No. This is family. And if Jacob went to go talk with family, what do we have? Esau says, fine, I'm not going to get. He actually is trying to please his father and says, listen, I'm going to go to your brother. And I'm going to get someone that's part of the family. You just sent him to go to get someone that's part of the family. I'm going to go and get someone that's part of the family as well. And so I think, as Brian said, it would appear at least that he is realizing and wants to please his father. And so if that's what his father wants, he goes and gets someone who is still a part of the family. And as we've looked at Ishmael before, it would appear that his family, as they buried Abraham together, that he is still in the faith and is still doing that. So it would appear that's good. You got the problem of, you know, one wife is good. You know, you probably shouldn't have taken two. I'm not sure it's best to take three, even if it happens to be, now I got the right one. Okay? I mean, whether it's serial or parallel, you know, hey, good news, I finally got the right one. Okay. Brian? No,
I was just going to say the same point. We thought Ishmael was a believer.
Yes, exactly. And I have no reason to believe that is not the case. Karn, and then...
Well, and we don't know about anything more about this life, but it could be that eventually he does finally shake the yoke and live in peace with his brother after many years, and maybe this life helped him.
Maybe.
Because the others were obviously, you know, idol worshippers, Canaanites.
Maybe.
Well, I was just going to say, now Esau may have been thinking, oh, he's sending Jacob away. Now he's going on a journey. He may not make it back. You never know. So I'm going to please Dad so that he can then, will get, you know, transfer the blessing from this absent Jacob or this dead Jacob who may die out there in the way. And then I'll have the blessing anyway.
And then I will have it. Good idea. Here's the problem. The problem with this is this kind of, he's not the brightest bulb in the box?
Well, I mean, he's thinking that, maybe.
Tell me what happened when Abraham had Ishmael, and God said, you're going to have a son, they'll be the prompt and whatever, and Abraham goes, oh, no, I got Ishmael. And God said, yeah, I know you got Ishmael. But the line of the promise is going through Isaac. It's not, I'm going to bless him. He'll become 12 tribes. He'll be whatever. But the line doesn't go through him. Esau, by going and marrying into the Ishmael, you can't have the line of the promise.
He may not. That just may be kind of a backup plan here.
Jacob, if Jacob goes away, the line of the promise can't go that way.
But he doesn't know that. He doesn't believe that.
Obviously, he doesn't know that. But it's clear that that's the case. It's not going to go through that. Michael?
Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But it seems to me that if you go back to Esau hated Jacob, I don't think that by the verse that we're reading here, anything has changed. And I think Esau is kind of establishing his power base. The reason that he's waiting for Isaac to die, is the type, is the same kingship. Okay, so he's going to wait for Isaac to die so that there's no one above him, stronger than him. Now, maybe that's incorrect, but that's what I see here. It's a matter of power.
Absolutely.
They all had the same...
No. I don't think you're reading into it. In fact, I think that's exactly what's going on. I think Esau has not changed. He hasn't all the way through to where he is at this point, and he's still angry and going to murder and whatever. In doing this, what do I see of this? I think he is trying to please his father, but I'm just going to tell you that this is the hypocrite in all of us, in which... I've not changed my tune, but I did put on a suit and a tie, and you saw me at church, didn't you? And so I outwardly did what you wanted, but when you look at this, you kind of go, yeah, but it's the third one. Yeah, but it's Ishmael's. And it's, you know, what are you doing? So no, it hasn't changed at all, but he's still outwardly trying to keep it all together because he's going to take it all. That's what he wants. That's why he wanted this blessing, was the material stuff and everything that is given.
I'm a little confused with what you said, that the line would have to come through the mother and the father? Why not just the father? I mean, I'm a little confused when you said that Ishmael's daughter wouldn't be, because he's in the line.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's already been said that it's going to go through Jacob. I mean, this kind of supposition that maybe Jacob dies, and then, you know, it could go through Esau kind of thing. My point just was, is Ishmael's family were sent away because the line wasn't going through. It's not that they can't be saved and believed and whatever, but the line continues this way. I guess it's possible. I'll agree that, you know, maybe you could marry a daughter and that, but yeah.
I know that Esau's not concerned about the line. He's concerned about the stuff. Yeah.
Right. So, that hits the text. Leaves me with something that is related to the text, but not completely. The point is this. Jacob now has the Abrahamic blessing. And what does the Abrahamic blessing entail? It entails becoming a great nation. It entails having the land, being the possessor of the land. It includes getting the Lord's blessings with your stuff and the honor that goes with it. And then you will bless others because through you is going to come the Savior and those kind of things. What do we have going on? At this point, when we get to the end of this, Jacob is sent away.
Seems like you could almost say out all this so far. Rebecca could be the most successful conniver we've seen so far.
As soon as she was asked to come and marry Isaac, she's like, yeah, I'm on it. And then she had her face.
Yeah, she's good. She's real.
She might have had a spy out watching because she thought maybe Isaac might be wanting to get Esau anyway. She made sure Jacob got it. Then she got Jacob out there and married back into her family again.
Right.
So she got pretty much came out.
But here's the thing, and this is where I'm going with it. Rebecca herself, this is the last time we hear of Rebecca. She will not come up again, except way later, and it's in a passing reference to, oh yeah, of the people buried at the cave in Machpelah, it includes Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Rebecca. Now, doesn't mention her death, doesn't mention anything about, it just mentions, oh yeah, her body's in the cave. What most people say, she never saw Jacob again. 20 years later, he comes back. And when he comes back, you would think there would be a mention of this woman who pretty well runs the show. What, no mention of her at all. Jacob's there. We assume that. Now, it could be that it just doesn't mention. But the point being is that she does lose her son and never sees him again, as best we can see. What else do we see? Here's the thing that goes away. Esau has already become 12. He's already become a great nation. He's already become a whole bunch of people. Esau gets to stay in the father's house. He's running the show as Isaac can't see and can't do stuff, and he's taking care. And now he's got two wives. He added a third one. You know, he's like a king. He's like Solomon, taking all the wives and taking everything. He's got everything. Talk about blessings. He's got all the blessings. Jacob goes away. What does he take with him? Nothing. He's running away so that Esau doesn't, you know, follow him, doesn't track him down or whatever. No, he's got nothing. When he gets to the ladder incident, it's him, and he puts his head on a rock. You know, concerning honor, Jacob, because of his deception, gets sent away. Esau says, yeah, he had to be sent away. I'm taking care of everything now. I'm the first. I mean, Esau could spin this any way he wants. But he is there. You know, yeah, as of the spiritual blessings, those things which, quote, are to come with Jesus, it says it's going through Jacob. But when you get done with this story, you look at this and go, this sure doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like. Not at all. And so, who actually wins out on this? Well, for 20 years, Jacob has to go. He has to slave for Laban. Laban mistreats him. And Esau stays home, marries wives, lives in the land. I don't know. Who won?
Jacob, he has the promise.
Jacob has the promise. Is this the only time this has happened?
Definitely not.
No. What about David? He is ordained, anointed to be king. Does he go and sit on the throne?
Nope.
Long time.
10 years. 10 years. Saul is still on the throne, and he's being hunted by Saul. And does David kill? Nope. He waits his time until it comes about. You know, that this is the way things happen. What about the Christ who comes? Hey, I'm the king. Everybody, nope. They treat him poorly until finally he's suffering back. This is not, what about the church? Yeah, we're often mistreated and things of this sort. What about the land that we have? There is the promise of the land. Abraham goes and says, God says to him, I'm going to give you the promised land. When Abraham dies, does he own the promised land? No. He's got a cave. It's the best that he has. In Machpelah, where he buried his wife. That's all he's got. Isaac, pretty well from this story on, Isaac doesn't... Yeah, he's there when they come back, but pretty well the next thing we hear about 20 years later when he comes back is that he's old and he's dying. And he dies. At this point, Jacob is the star of the show. Isaac's is already done. Okay? And so, what about Isaac? Well, he's there, but Esau's like taking care of everything and all. You'll see. When we get to Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place he would receive an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise. He dwelt there as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're just campers in the land. Heirs of the same promise. They got the promise. But it says he waited for the city which has its foundations, its builder and maker is God. They got it, but it's only by faith. They're still waiting for the reality. They all died in faith. Next part. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, they embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Those who say such things show that they were plainly seeking another homeland. It's not this place. So what do we find? We find that everyone, it doesn't appear, but Jacob believes. He believes he's going to get the land. He believes he's going to become a whole bunch of people, but he's 77. He doesn't even have a wife. He believes that God's going to bless him. He's got nothing as he goes to Laban, and he has to serve as a slave. He doesn't, you know, I mean, and everything, he knows he's in the promise, but they're all looking for something else. Hebrews 11:20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. It talks about, I think, as I mentioned, I think though he intended to manipulate and do things with the first, by the time he realized what's going on, he is, by faith, making sure that Jacob and Esau, concerning this promise of land, and that's what we have going on. They didn't get it. In fact, this is a continual theme. Abraham dies, doesn't get the land. Isaac dies, doesn't get the land. Jacob now, we think, well, is he finally going to get this promise? There was a promise to Abraham. It's by faith. I guess we're going to have to see if he's actually going to get it or not. One Tony and then Tony two. Tony Prohaska.
It appears to me that it's typical of us. We always get it wrong. We're looking for things of the world. He ought to have the land. He ought to have the titles and so forth. Even when Jesus was walking there, what did the people expect? He was going to be the king of the earth. It's never there. It's always spiritual.
Very good. Tony?
I think the promised land is heaven.
Yes. And so,
and I know it specifically talks about sand and stuff, but I think he's talking about our heavenly home.
There have been promises, and it does talk about the land of Canaan, it does talk about this, and yet, we, like the New Testament, we realize that, yeah, they weren't really, there was more than that going on. When we come back, and especially as we go forward, Karen, you mentioned that these, even Esau's blessing, backhanded blessing, kind of occurs. Could it be a, what did you say it was? A
blessing in disguise.
A blessing in disguise.
Like our suffering. To bring us to repentance is what I was thinking.
Very good. As we go forward, I think we ought to look at some of these things that are going on. Does God get his way? Yes. Did every one of these people kind of do something that wasn't quite right? Yeah, they all did. Do they all get a punishment? Rebecca doesn't get to see her son. Jacob gets sent away for 20 years and doesn't get to enjoy the blessings of his father's house. Every one of these kind of something happens. But is God using these things? Because we know, for those who believe in God, God's going to bring good of it. It's not simply a matter of God hurting or harming or intending to get a piece of flesh. We realize that God is using all of this in order to bring us to where we need to go. And sometimes we need to have our deception exposed. We need to have our anger and hatred exposed so that we can be repentant and in sin. We need to be taught to let go of the material blessings and look to the spiritual blessings. So let's see. Maybe this is, and I think as we kind of go through this, we're going to be able to see as it goes forward, it's going to take, well, let's say a good 20 years before God gets Jacob and Esau right where he wants them. Wow.
Well, I was going to say, as far as Jacob having the land, I don't know if he had, when he got back, if he had much in the way of land, but he gave it up and went to Egypt before very long, and they lost everything. They had to go back in 400 years later and retake it.
Yep. So, Abraham, Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The promise, heirs of the same promise, Abraham with Isaac and Jacob, heirs to him of the same promise, which was the land and the inheritance.
But since Benjamin was still quite young, evidently, when they went down to Egypt, you know, he was the youngest son, and Rachel had been dead probably, you know, a while already, so he was probably, you know, maybe a teenager, I don't know. So they really weren't in the promised land
for that long, were they? We'll get to that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have presented to us a account of the patriarchs. We ask, dear Lord, that we might have our faith strengthened by their actions, that we too might confess our sins and cling to our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.